Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us. Today, we're continuing a powerful series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. And in this series, Rick will show you how to grow deep in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and become everything He created you to be. So let's begin the final part of a message called Radical Faith.
Let me give you another facet of radical faith. Number five. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Now, giving and faith go together. And the fact is, God uses finances to test your faith. Has God ever tested your faith with finances? Oh, yeah, all the time. Have you ever had to decide between paying a bill and tithing? This is a test. It is a test of your priorities, it's a test of your love, but most important of all, it's a test of your faith. Do I really trust God that He will provide for me if I put Him first in my life? I've got to pay a bill and give my tithe. Which am I going to do? Do I really trust God? And money, many times, is the acid test. Now, it's interesting that in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame, the first guy who gets mentioned is a guy named Abel. Anybody remember Abel? Cain and Abel, they're the two sons of Adam and Eve. What did Abel do that caused him to get into the Hall of Fame with Moses and Abraham and all these other big shots? He never did anything great. He never accomplished anything, never took any major risks. You know what made Abel great? He gave an offering in faith. Look at what the Bible says. It says, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. This guy didn't do anything flashy or fancy or risky. He just gave an offering. But notice, he's listed not because of what he gave. It wasn't what he gave that pleased God, but how he gave it. Let me say it again. It's not what you give that pleases God. It's how you give it. It says he gave it in faith. Now listen very closely to your pastor who loves you. God couldn't care less about the amount you give. What he cares about is the attitude with which you give it. It is not the amount that matters. It is the attitude with which you give it. You must always give in faith. And if you're not giving in faith, friend, don't give because you don't get any credit for it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're not giving in faith, forget it. God doesn't need your money. What he wants is your heart. He wants your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God says, I'm not looking at the amount. In fact, God didn't look at the amount. He looks at the amount you have left over. In other words, how much you gave in light of what you could have given. See, for somebody to give 50 cents might be a bigger sacrifice than somebody gave 50,000. Because he looks at what you have left over. Are you giving in faith? Now, you need to understand, this is Christmas season. We always talk about giving gifts to each other and the spirit of giving. This is the time for giving all year. So let me explain to you that there are two ways to give. You can give by reason or you can give by revelation. These are the two ways you can give. To give by reason is to figure out reasonably what I think I can give. And I sit down and I figure a reasonable amount. I say, this is what I think I can afford to give. And so I give by reason. Now, giving by reason doesn't require any faith at all. An atheist can do it. You just figure out, well, I think I could give this much, and I give. The other way is to give by revelation. And that means I let God reveal to me what he wants me to give in faith. And I stop and I pray and I ask, I say, God, how much do you want to give through me? I'm the straw. How much do you want to give through me? This is a test of faith. I say, God, how much do you want me to trust you for this time? This time. And this is giving when you don't have it. This is when it stretches your faith. How much do you want to give through me? Not reasonable amount, but by revelation. In the Bible, there was a group in an area of Greece called Macedonia. That's where Alexander the Great came from, Macedonia. And the Macedonian church was an extremely impoverished, poor church. And yet when they heard that the church at Jerusalem needed help, they gave a sacrificial gift to help that church when they didn't have any money themselves. And Paul says this about them. They're on your outline. He says, because of their great joy, not because of their guilt, because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. How do you give even more than you can afford? Given when you don't have it. I'll never forget years ago when an Orange County executive, very well known, a business executive told me, he said, Rick, you need to tell people, business people, the best time to start tithing is when they're in trouble, when they're in debt, when the business is tanking, because that's when you need God's help. Whatever you want God to bless, you put him first in. He said, now, if you give when things are going great, well, so what? That's great. But the best time, he says, to tithe, to be faithful, to give, is when things aren't going well because you need God's help. Now, most of you know my story. I don't need to go into that again. Kay and I decided when we first got married, we said, if anybody gets paid, God gets paid first. We may be in debt to other people. We're not going to be in debt to God. And so if Bill doesn't get paid, it's not going to be my tithe. God gets paid first because it all came from him. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the cupboards were quite bare. And the first thought was, we can't afford to give. We can't afford to tithe. Then the second thought was, we can't afford not to. I need God's help. I need God's blessing. And we've learned that when we give, not by reason, but by revelation, in faith, God always, the money always arrives in time, and we end up with more than we started. I could give you 1,000 stories of this. Some of you were around 1993 when we were meeting in the tent on this property, and we decided to build this building. You know, somebody had to pay for this. And so we did a thing called Time to Build. And it was a 3-year program where people in our church, we prayed, said, God, what do you want us to give in advance to build this building over and above our normal tithes? And so I said, let's take a month. Let's pray about it. Don't make any spontaneous decision. Just think about it and say, God, what do you want to give through me? So I went home and I started praying, and God gave me an amount that was so astronomical. I thought, that's really a test of my faith. I don't know where I'd get that kind of money to give for this building. Then I was reading in Chronicles where David led the offering for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And God said, David, you're the leader. I want you to announce your gift to other people. I thought, well, that's real good that he did that. And then God said, Rick, I want you to do that. And I said, no way. Not a chance. He said, do you want to be the leader? Yeah. Then I want you to announce your gift just like the leaders in the Bible did. God, please. I said, God, if I announce my gift, everybody's going to misunderstand it. Some people, they think I'm showing off, that I'm giving way too much, and that I'm just trying to show off. Other people think that I'm trying to pressure them to give the same amount. And some people think I didn't give enough. So no matter what it is, I can't win in this one. I don't want to do this. And I was really having a battle with God. And God says, do you want the blessing or not? I said, yeah, I do. Well, then you will announce your gift. So on the first Sunday of that month, we're going to spend a month praying about it. I got up and I said, okay, everybody, you got a month to think about praying what you're going to give. At the end, we're going to have a special one-day offering and then commit to give over the next 3 years to build this building. And I said, I don't want to do this, but God has impressed on me that as the leader, I'm supposed to tell you what I'm going to give. And Kay and I have prayed, and we believe that God wants us to give $100,000. Now, friends, that was equal to 2 years of my salary at that time. I was going to give 2 full years of salary for this building over the next 3 years. And, you know, everybody gasped. And then when I walked out of the service and went home, I thought, you fool. You have just blocked yourself back in the corner, which is exactly where God likes to put us. Right in the corner. You don't know God's all you need till God's all you got. So over the next month, I'm thinking of all the ways. God, how am I going to get $100,000? That's 2 years worth of salary. How am I going to live for the next 2 years? And I'm trying to, could I take on another job? Is there anything I could sell? Could I rob a bank? I mean, just, you know, I'm thinking of anything I could do, you know? So I'm thinking, wow, how am I going to get this money? This is ridiculous. So everybody's praying the week of the big offering. We're going to give as much as we can in one day and then turn in our commitment cards for the next 3 years. 6 days before that offering, I get a call on the phone, and it's a company, a publishing company named Zondervan. Now, I hadn't written a book in 15, 20 years since I'd come to Saddleback. And They said, we would like, this is 1993, we would like for you to write a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. I go, I could do that. I could do that. I've been teaching on this for some time. And they said, now we're going to, because we believe this will be a bestseller, we're going to give you an advance of $150,000. I'm all right, now we're talking. Okay, God, yeah. Now, woohoo! 5 days, that was really, you know, that was carrying it down to the wire. And I'm going, okay, all right. So the following Sunday, we got up for the big offering. I said, hey, you guys, remember a month ago, I got up and I just, in faith, announced, I'm going to give 100 grand. And I said, I don't know where I'm going to give it from, but I'm trusting God and I'm going to give it whether I've got it or not somehow. Well, I said, you're not going to believe this. I got a call this week and a publisher wants me to write a book and they're going to give me an advance of 150 grand. The place went crazy. People were weeping. People were standing up shouting, jumping around and dancing. And the joy in that church, in our church, just exploded because there is joy in generosity. And I just thought, I am so glad I didn't wimp out on that lesson of faith. And I have learned over and over again. God says, let's play a little game. You give to me and I'll give to you and let's see who wins. And I've lost that game for 35 years in a row. Now, some of you say, man, that's really cool, Rick. I want God to bless me like that. So God, give me some money and then I'll give it. God says, no, 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 that's not how it works. You prime the pump because it's not about money. Get this. It's not about money. It's about faith. Do you trust me? The Bible says this. On every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, that's every week, first day of every week, each of you should put aside something from what you've earned during the week, use it for your offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. You make a lot, you give a lot. You make a little, you give a little. You don't make anything, you don't give anything. It's just real simple. It's a proportional giving. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
What does it mean to have radical faith? It means a sixth thing. It means thanking God before I receive it. Thanking God before I even receive it. Let me ask you a question. If I today gave you a check for $1,000, would you wait until you see if you could cash it to thank me? A few of you would, but most of you would think, okay, Tom's a pretty good guy. It's probably not going to bounce. I'll thank him right now. Thank you so much for this. And then you would go cash it. You'd thank me before you received it. God's promises are better than any of our promises, any of our checks. And before we even receive it, we can say, thank you, God, that what you've said is going to happen. Now, there's a great example of this in God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a guy by the name of Joshua at a place by the name of Jericho. You might remember the walls fell down there. How did they fall down? Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. The people of Israel are going into this new promised land. There's this big enemy there. They have this powerful city named Jericho. God's going to defeat the enemy. He's going to let them into this city. How does he do it? God says, here's my plan. I want you to go and I want you to march around this city for 7 days, thanking me in advance for the fact that you're going to have victory. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it for 7 times, just thanking me for the victory that's going to come. And when they did that, they marched around the seventh time on the seventh day, the walls just fell. God worked. Now, I've often thought, what if I was one of those people marching around those walls for those 7 days? I mean, you know human nature. Some of the people had to be looking at the walls, and they got more and more worried the more they looked at the walls. God could never bring those walls down. It's never going to happen. But there were people, a lot of them in that crowd, who had faith instead. And every day they looked at the walls, they thought about what God could do, and the walls looked shorter and smaller, and they realized that God could work. They thanked God in advance. This is the kind of life that God wants you to live, the thanking God in advance kind of life. Jesus talked about it. Next verse in your outline, Jesus said in Mark 11:24, when you pray and ask for something, believe that you've received it. You thank God, you believe in advance, and then you will be given what you ask for. Now, I understand that when I pray, I've got to be humble enough to realize God might have to teach me to pray for something different. I get that. But let me just ask you a question. When you pray and ask God for something, Do you believe that he's going to do it? If you don't believe, why even ask? It's an empty exercise. If you pray and you ask God for something, Jesus said, believe that he's going to do it. Watch what he's going to do. Thank him in advance for what only he can do. Jesus also said this, next verse in your outline. Jesus said, because of your faith, it will happen. He wants us to live this life of faith. I've had to learn something about this thing of thanking God in advance. I hope it doesn't take you so long to learn it. I've had to learn to let thanksgiving lead the way in my life. This is another story in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where in another battle, the people of Israel are being invaded. And God says, I'm going to give you the victory in this battle. And the way I want you to fight this battle is I want you to put the choir out in front. They're going to lead the way into the battle. Bad day to be a soprano, you might think. I mean, that's not a good place to be in a battle. But the choir leads the way, and God just gives them the victory. Because God wanted thanksgiving to lead the way. It's a great illustration. And I found in my life, if I let thanksgiving lead the way, it lets me live a life of faith. If I begin the day thanking God for what he's going to do in that day, it's usually a day where I can have a day of faith. If I begin the day waiting for God to do something that I can thank him for, it's usually a day filled with myself. So the question of faith is, are you letting thanksgiving lead the way? Are you thanking God in advance?
Now, I hope you'll go home and read this Hebrews chapter 11, because there's a lot of more great stories in the Bible about these heroes of faith and about what it means to have radical faith. Let me read you the end of this chapter. Verse 32 says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David or Samuel and the prophets who, through faith, conquered kingdoms and administered justice and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. These guys, their weakness was turned into strength, and they became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. He says, I don't have time to tell you about these people, women who received back their dead and raised to life again. But then he says, but others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison, and they were stoned, and some were sawed in two and put to death by the sword. And there were others who went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of these people. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground, and these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them, that he's talking about these who went through the tough times, received what had been promised. None of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. He said, for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, friends, living by faith does not exempt you from problems. God is not a genie that whatever you put in faith, you're going to get back. God says, just because you live by faith doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. Sometimes God doesn't remove a problem. Sometimes God lets us go through the problem because he wants to strengthen us. He's more interested in building our character than making us comfortable, because you're taking your character to heaven. Now, if this life was all there is, that'd be a pretty lousy life if God doesn't protect us from all the things that are bad in the world. But God says, no, the reward's coming later. This is not all there is. There's more to life than just here and now. And yeah, you're going to go through problems and difficulty, and you'll probably even go through some suffering. But that's all to build your faith too, because your faith is like pure gold. So here's the seventh facet of radical faith. Faith is trusting God if I don't get it. Trusting God if he doesn't answer my prayer. Trusting God if the problem doesn't go away. Trusting God when I have to suffer. I'm asking God, let me out of prison, let me out of jail, let me not die. But surely, obviously, not every prayer gets answered the way we want. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not yet. I think sometimes God says, you got to be kidding. But really, God answers every prayer, just not in the way that we want. And speaking of those who didn't always get everything they prayed for, it says they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Now, friends, anybody can trust God when things are going great. That's no sweat. You're flush in cash, you're happy, and everything's going great. It's easy to trust God when things are going great. The real test of your faith is when things stink, when you've lost your job, when you got the problems in the home, when everything isn't going right. That's the ultimate test of your faith. Real faith develops in the valleys of life, not in the mountains. Why? Because if you could understand every way God moves and why he moves the way he does, then he wouldn't be big enough to solve your problems. If you could understand everything that God does and why he does it, you'd be God, but you're not. And some things you're just going to have to trust. And they don't make sense, and they don't look sensible, and they don't seem to fit together, and it seems sometimes like a tragedy. We don't know. We know that we cause a lot of our own problems, that God didn't cause those problems. But we know that God can even bring good out of bad if we give it all to him. Sometimes God has a better idea than your idea. I'll be honest with you. The things that I have prayed for the longest in my life, the personal hurts and pains, and the things that I've asked God to remove out of my life have never been answered. The things I've prayed for the most have not been answered. But those were the very things that made me the man I am today. It was those very pains, those very hurts, those very difficulties that I didn't like in my life that shaped me and molded me and made me the man I am today. So I'm grateful that God didn't answer my prayers. As Garth Brooks sang, I thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, considering these seven aspects, how do you rate on faith? I challenge you to become a radical follower of Christ, not a casual follower of Christ. Be one that's rooted deep. You say, well, I wish I had more faith. How do I get more faith? Look up here. This is where you get it, right here. You get this book in your mind. And the more you understand and know and understand and read and memorize and fill your mind with this book, the more faith you're going to have. This is faith food. And the more you fill your mind with the Word of God, the more faith you're going to have. The last verse on your outline that says this, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. I want every man in this room to pray this prayer with me. In your mind, say, Father, I want to be a man of faith. Just say, Father, I want to be a man of faith. And I'm going to ask every woman to pray this. Father, I want to be a woman of faith. I want to trust you with radical gratitude and radical faith, rooted in your love. Help me to believe it when I don't see it. Help me to obey even when I don't understand it. And God, when I feel like giving up, help me to persist even when I don't feel like it. Help me to announce it, to speak it, in order to experience it. Lord, I want to practice faith and give when I don't have it. And I want to practice faith in thanking you before I receive it. And most of all, I want to trust you if I don't get it. When things don't happen the way I want to learn to trust you even in the tough times. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, I want to put my faith in you. I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I open my life to you and I want to trust you. Build faith in my heart. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you.
Just email rick@pastorrick.com. We'll send you free tools to help start your relationship with Jesus. And now here's Rick to tell you how you can partner with Daily Hope to take the Word of God to the world.
Hi, everybody. You may not realize this, but today is National Giving Tuesday. You may have never even heard of this day or holiday, but it is the most important day of the year for people and ministries like Daily Hope who try to reach people all around the world and do good for people. On this day, your gift will matter more than any other day of the year. So if you've never been a regular giver of Daily Hope, would you consider giving something even just today? Here's the reason why. We have a generous supporter of Daily Hope who has said that they will match your Giving Tuesday gift today. There's a little urgency to this because if you give it tomorrow, it's not going to be on the matching, but today is Giving Tuesday, National Giving Tuesday. Now, as I've said many, many times, I only want you to give if you feel led to give by God. If God tells you to give, give. If you don't worry about it and never give out of pressure. But giving out of pressure and giving out of urgency are two different things, and your gift will mean more today if you're able to do that. So can you take 5 minutes and go online and make a gift knowing that on this particular day, everything you give will be doubled. It will be met by a matching gift. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your prayers. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for your financial support. Thanks so much for the letters that you write to me. I love reading these letters. I love hearing from you. And as I've said many, many times, you are the reason we do this ministry.
Now, time is of the essence because we'll lose any part of the Giving Tuesday grant that isn't matched by midnight tonight. So please act now by going to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com or by texting the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.